From toddlers to teenagers, our kids are going to make mistakes. It's inevitable. But it's really hard to not feel like I failed when they fail. Right? Anybody with me? Not so fast. There's a way out of this hole. We believe that you are made and equipped by God to be an amazing parent. We believe that you can do this, and we're here to help. I'm Lena Schuler, mom of one, soon to be two, and I'm joined by Chuck, father of three, and Kim, mother of five, and grandmother of seven more. Today, we're talking about how to handle things when our kids fail.
As my kid gets older, he's going to have his own failures. Do those failures represent me? Like, if he fails, does that mean I failed? How do I not feel like a failure when my kid makes mistakes?
Failing is the best opportunity for growth. It is. And I, one of the things I, somebody told me once with my kid, she had gotten in pretty serious trouble at school and she got a serious punishment at school. And so when she came home, do you know what I did? I instilled my own punishment. I was going to punish her again. And I have a therapist because I think it's a good idea.
And don't we all?
Yes. And my therapist actually said, why don't you let the people at school take care of that and the punishment? You don't need to punish her again for something she's already been punished for. Instead, remind her of who she is rather than focus on what she did and then come up with strategies to respond for her to respond in a different way next time. That was huge for me.
That's big.
Because so often when a kid makes a mistake, then we just focus so much on the punishment and remember when you did this. Well, really, we should be reminding them, this is who you are.
Right.
Well, and wouldn't you say, Kim, and I'm putting myself in my shoes, so this might not be your thinking, but oftentimes in that case, my punishing after they've been punished at school isn't based on what they did. It's based on the shame
absolutely.
It's me trying to absolve myself in some way or feel like I stood up for that. I didn't stand for that with my kid. Versus if I think about what do they need for the purposes of their growth and learning, it may not be that second punishment for me. It may be what they need from me is grace.
Right.
Or whatever it is that they need. Yeah.
Because I wanted to be able to tell the teacher, hey, I got this under control.
Right.
And so they're grounded for life.
Right.
No screens for life.
Right.
They're going to be eating dinner in their bedroom for the next six months.
Right. Exactly right.
You're right, Chuck. It was all about me. It wasn't about them. Sometimes when a kid gets, obviously you want to talk about it.
Sure.
You need to talk about it and figure it out. But sometimes just sitting with them and is much more effective than another punishment.
I can remember times, it reminds me, when my siblings and I have a brother and a sister, and I can remember us getting in trouble in school, not all together at the same time, thank goodness, but I think the way my parents handled that was they didn't add on top to the punishment. Instead, they handled the training us relationally in the midst of that.
Yeah.
So it was a great, you cheated in school. You're going to go back to the person you copied your homework from, and you're going to tell them that you're sorry, that you used them, and that you won't do that again.
Yes.
You're going to go back to the teacher, and you're going to tell them what you did wrong, why, and you're going to ask for forgiveness from that teacher and from that. And so I remember that felt a little bit like punishment. You know, it was discipline.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
But
That was training.
It was training. That the teacher couldn't do, and it was something that was my parents' responsibility.
That's their unique role.
Yeah, I think we're better for it. I believe we're better for that.
That's a lot harder.
Yeah, that's why it felt like punishment.
Yes, that is a lot harder for a kid to do than taking away things at home or grounding them.
Right.
I love your example too, Lena, and it makes me think of another piece on this that I think is important. I mean, this is obviously veering off a little bit into discipline, but what I love about what your parents did is they allowed the discipline to happen at the school level.
Yeah.
And they came alongside it to support it.
Right.
I think that there's just this thing that like nobody can correct my kids. Nobody can do, and it's like, man, if you want to be the only person helping your kids train and become better human beings, good luck.
Right.
Good luck. We need to be able to recognize the value of other places and institutions and people who help our kids shape and form into the people that they're supposed to be. And we should be thinking about, I'm the quarterback of that process,
right?
But I don't have to be the one that carries that whole process.
Right. Well, and in order for that to be true, we have to believe that, yes, part of our kids' mistakes or failure, it is a reflection of me as a parent. And it's not only a reflection of me as a parent. Also, they're kids.
That's right.
Their brains aren't fully
formed. They're not fully
formed.
Exactly. They're learning. And so it's not always that if our kids do something wrong, it means we've failed. It might mean that there's absolutely learning opportunity for us in that. And we do have to partner with others in the discipline or in the training of that. And it also is just they're a kid and it's our responsibility to correct mistakes and to love our kids in the midst of it and to speak truth over who they are when their behavior would cause them to question that. Mm-hmm. So it's a both and. And so I think it's probably reasonable for us to feel a little bit of that pain or shame as a parent, right? Mm-hmm. And we can't own all of it because it's also the fact that our kid's a kid and we're being trained to be a parent in the midst of training them to one day be a fully functioning adult that we enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think as far as the shame piece, when I started realizing that when something like this happened, when I realized that my kid was my primary audience, not the gawkers or the teacher at school, that really changed the way that I interacted with my child on this.
Yeah.
Say more about that. What do you mean by that?
Well, that if my kid does something, let's say we're at the playground and they do something that's unacceptable, I'm gonna discipline my kid. I might have to take him off the playground. But continually remembering that I'm not trying to prove to the other parents that I'm a great parent and have it under control.
Right.
That I'm not trying to prove to the teacher that, hey, I've got your back and I'm going to, you know, whatever you did, I'm going to do times two at home. Instead, if I realize that what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to train my kid, then I'm going to respond differently.
Yeah. Right.
Knowing so that true. They're my primary audience.
That's so true. I will say, the example that comes to mind when I think about that is public tantrums.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know.
Right.
We're all experiencing, we're going to experience with our kids. And I think, you know, this is one of the things I would say I've gotten better at over time is, you know, now when my daughter, who is five, has a public tantrum, as long as I've done the basics to care for her need, if I'm holding a boundary line and that's why she's having a public tantrum, it's funny, like she can be going crazy and I'll be like, Lena, how you doing? Yeah, you know, like she'll be okay. She'll be okay. But I don't feel this need to like, you can't perform like this in front of people. I don't want people to see my daughter cry. It's like, no, we're having a moment right now, you know, and I'm okay with that because I think before my anger would increase because I just want it to stop. You've got to stop doing that. Look at all these people.
Which
and it's like,
then typically makes it worse.
It makes it worse.
Right.
It makes it worse.
Well, and that, I mean, to me, what I hear you saying is you know what your expectations are of your own child. You know the boundaries you've set in place and you've been intentional about what you want to train in your child. And so if you feel good about all of those things, then it doesn't matter what other people around you are seeing or thinking of that. But you do have to know. Like
you have to know.
You have to do the work to know. What is my game plan here? And what is my, you know, what's the return I hope to see on this training in this situation?
That's right. What's important in this moment?
Yeah.
And can I just say to parents, when we're at the mall and if we see a mom or a dad carrying their kid under their arms screaming, it is amazing. Just a little thumbs up or a smile or I was there yesterday is so encouraging to people. I've tried. I do that. I did it at Target the other day. And then somebody said, oh, your Kim bought it from CrossFit. Right. So I'm so glad that I didn't look at her, you know, with judgment.
Right.
We're all in this parenting thing together. We'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, questions, and ideas. So reach out to us all over email at podcasts@crossroads.net. That's podcasts with an S. You Can Do This is a production of Crossroads Church, Cincinnati, Ohio.